AppleViz Original.
Thanks for checking out the AppleViz podcast. I'm Scott Davert, and on this podcast, I'm going to cover Braille Access, a brand new set of features available in iOS 26. My apologies, by the way, for getting this out kind of late. I know it's been pretty much a month at this point, but I had a lot of things going on, including being sick twice last month. And the bulk of everything I'm going to talk about here today is available in the article I published on September 13th. So if you're someone who prefers blog posts to podcasts, that is also available to you. What is Braille Access? Braille Access provides access to Braille. That's the podcast. Hope you enjoyed.
This podcast was brought to you by the community at AppleViz.com.
No, I'm kidding. Braille Access is a set of tools, I would call them. I don't know if we're supposed to refer to Braille Access as a feature and these other things as sub-features, or is it an app? I don't know. Whatever it is, it has a lot to offer. We have a few functions in it that were already available on previous versions of iOS that have been put into this suite of applications or tools, we'll call them. And you have some newcomers. Like anything that is brand new, it does suffer with some challenges, but we'll talk about that as we go along. The idea behind this is to essentially address the needs of Braille users. For a long time, we've, of course, been able to connect Bluetooth displays to iOS devices, but we haven't had any real major features built in specifically for Braille display users, and that changes with iOS 26. If you're familiar with the old note takers like the Braille Light, the Braille InSpeak, the Braille Note, the Braille Note Empower, the Braille Note Apex, the Braille Sense 6 has some of this as well. It's probably the most modern example of this type of environment. But this one brings a lot of these features to your iOS and iPad OS devices. So, for example, you have the ability to take notes. That one's called Braille Notes. I don't know how Humanware feels about that, but that's what it's called. And then you have BRF files. So if you have files that you have created on note takers or things that you have downloaded from Bookshare, NLS Bard, Sella, I know, has BRF content, RNIB does, and so on and so forth, you'll be able to read. You can also create and edit BRF documents through Braille Access. There's also a calculator application that allows you to use Nemeth code, which is still, I think, what a lot of schools are using here in the States, as well as UEB Math, which is starting to spread across the U.S., but who knows how that one will come out. We also have live captions. I can't really demonstrate those. It's kind of difficult to do in a podcast, but I'll definitely talk about that and how they are used and some of their limitations. And we also have the ability to tell the time in seconds. So there's a lot here. Let's go ahead and unpack this. The first thing I'm going to cover are the settings for this suite of applications or tools are located under Settings, Accessibility, VoiceOver, Braille, and then Braille Access. I'll quickly demonstrate that. I'll hit backspace with V, which is the command I have set up already for VoiceOver settings.
Settings, back button.
I'll do a find for Braille, space with F.
Enter search text, Braille edge button.
There we go.
Match input and output tables, switch button, on.
And now I'll do a find for access.
Enter search text, Braille access, button.
And here we have the menu.
Quickly access Braille notes, BRF files, and more using a Braille display. Press dot 7 and 8 together or with space when using an 8 dot table or use the toggle braille access command on your keyboard to start braille access.
He's right. All that's correct. Don't worry. We'll review it again when we actually launch this set of tools. Let's look at what we have here and talk about it very briefly.
Learn more. Link.
You can learn more by reading on your own time. I assume that's not why you tuned into the podcast.
Main menu items. Button.
Here we have main menu items. And by the way, I'm just using space with dot 1 to go backwards, space with dot 4 to go forwards. Anyway, menu items, that's the first series of settings. Let's go ahead and check this out.
Selected, launch app, reorder launch app, button. Actions available.
So any of these items you select will actually be deselected now because all of them are. And you can do that by hitting a cursor routing button or space with 3-6, or if you're on a Mantis or some other QWERTY keyboard equipped display, you can hit up and down arrow if quick nav is turned on, or you can also do a cursor routing button. I'll go ahead and hit a cursor routing button.
Launch app, reorder launch app, button.
And it is now not something that will be there, but I want launch app there because I find it a very handy feature, so I'll select it.
Selected, launch app, reorder launch app, button.
Now, we also have options here to reorder. So let's say, for example, you don't want Launch App to be the first thing you encounter on Braille Access. Let's go ahead and move to the next option.
Reorder Launch App button, draggable.
One more time.
Selected, choose item, reorder choose item button.
And the second actions thing is available. Choose items. You heard there, of course, actions are available. So if I hit space with dot 6,
move up,
you can move it higher up,
move down,
or down,
activate default,
or activate it to deselect it. So those are the various options that are available. And again, any of the tools that are in this menu, you can go ahead and customize those to whatever fits your needs. I'm going to hit space with B to get out of here.
Main menu items, button.
And let's keep going here through the settings menu.
Open to last position, switch button, off.
I have this off, and the reason I have it off is because with iOS 26.0 and 01, when you have this on for some reason, you're not able to copy things out of, for example, Braille notes onto your clipboard that can then be translated. So to have that be an option, you have to leave this setting, open to last position, off. Basically, until it's fixed, which will hopefully be in 26.1, you have to choose. Do you want to have your last position available to you? Or would you like the ability to copy things from Braille notes into other places? Moving on to the next option.
Speak list items. Switch button on.
This is something that I normally leave off because I am a Braille user first, speech user last, but you can turn this on so that when you go through different items, it will read them out in speech, as you'll see. Next option.
Show visuals. Switch button on.
So there is a visual interface with this, and how that will represent itself kind of depends on where you're at, but normally it'll show whatever the Braille equivalent is, whatever those dots are that are being displayed on the screen. So it's good for people that maybe are learning Braille, or perhaps you're in a student/teacher situation, and the TVI may want to be able to see what the student is doing directly. Moving on.
Typing speech feedback. Switch button. Off.
What you can do is turn this on and get speech feedback when you're typing. There is no speech feedback when you're reading BRF content or these Braille files. But if you want, you can get typing feedback. And you also have to do one other thing. I'll move on to the next thing that tells us what that is.
In order to get typing speech feedback, character typing feedback for hardware keyboards needs to be enabled. Braille notes button.
And now we have the individual things that are available in terms of the tools, if you want to call them that, features, whatever it is. So Braille Notes, I'll go ahead and activate this.
Sort by heading.
And this is all there is, sort by. And there's all kinds of options here that you can sort your notes by.
Selected, date edited, button.
Date edited is the default, but we have a whole bunch of other options.
Date created, button. Sort order, heading. Selected, newest first, button. Oldest first, button.
So you can sort the notes that you take in whatever way you want. And you can also pin specific notes. We'll talk about that when we get into Braille Notes more specifically. Space with B.
Braille Notes, button. BRF files, button.
BRF files. We'll go in here.
Fit BRF content to display. Switch button, on.
So if you don't want it to do this, I highly recommend you do. But if you don't want to, you can have this not turned on so that whatever the default for that BRF file was when it was created will be what you get. But you can fit the content to the currently connected display, which I find a lot more comfortable in terms of reading. You know, if I'm on a 40-cell display, it's one thing. If I'm on a 14-cell, well, it's kind of another. You know, obviously the formatting won't be the same. Next option.
Hide BRF page indicators. Switch button off.
So if you don't care about page indicators, you can turn those off or on. You know, if you want to hide the page indicators, you'll turn this on, and that's it. So those are the options in this menu, space with B.
BRF files, button.
And next option.
Calculator, button.
Which I think they really ought to call it calculator and not Nemeth calculator. The Nemeth calculator name that we have in the menu is a bit misleading. Yes, it does support Nemeth, but as you'll see when we go into the settings here.
Math code, heading.
You can change the math code. I'll go to the right one.
Selected, Nemeth, button.
That's the first option, or
UEB math, button.
You can change it to UEB math. Space with B again.
Calculator, button. Live captions, button.
Live captions, I'm not going to go exploring this menu. The only thing in here is going to allow you to change where you get the captions from. The internal audio of the device, like a podcast or something like that, or the microphone that you have connected. So after all that, now it's time to actually launch Braille Access. Launch actually is the first option. And again, it doesn't matter where you are in the operating system. Backspace and enter, or .7 and .8, will open Braille Access. So let's go ahead and do that now.
Launch app.
What I notice is that underneath the letter P at the end of launch app, there is a cursor. And what that means is that I can begin typing the name of an app right now. And when I do that, I can press enter and it will either present me with a list of matches, or if there's only one match available, it will automatically take me into that app. So for example, let's say I type in radio and then enter.
Radio Spirits.
Now I have a list of apps that match radio. Radio Spirits.
Radio Tunes.
Radio Tunes.
Back.
And Back. And Back is a consistent menu item everywhere you go within this interface. So if I hit space with .1.
Radio Tunes.
I can hit enter now and...
Radio Tunes. Stream 100 plus radio channels of the best music.
Now we're in Radio Tunes, and if I want, I can interact with it as I wish. Now, before you used to be able to do this functionality with iOS 17 and 18, but you had to be on your home screen. But if I, for example, hit backspace with space again.
Launch app.
And I'm going to type X with the letter sign, X, and hit .8.
X Radio Tunes. Selected, CapEx, Home tab, New Items, New Posts Available. Scroll up to read them.
Goody! New posts are available. Hopefully they'll be accessible enough to read. That's another example of an app, and since X is the only thing on my iOS device, that begins with the letter X, it works. I do have a couple of other apps that have the letter X in them, but because it doesn't start with X, it did not find those, which is what you would expect. So there you have the launch app function.
Launch app.
The next item.
Choose item.
Is choose item. And again, there's a cursor, this time located under the letter M in item, which means I can begin immediately typing and find my search results. Now, I typically use space with F for find and then go about it that way, but and space with F doesn't work all the time. That would be when I might come to look for the item chooser. It's a great way to manage particularly large web pages, for example, or even apps that have a lot of buttons and stuff. If you're looking for something specific, that's a good way, among others, to manage that ability. Next item is
Braille Notes.
Braille Notes is pretty much what it says it is, but it is pretty feature-rich, I would say, it's particularly for a first release. Let's go ahead and press .8 to launch Braille Notes.
New.
New, .. You don't hear .. I think there's probably a verbosity setting that I could adjust that would allow that, but .. just like in many other cases, means this is a submenu. And the only other thing on the feature's main menu, if you will, the Braille Notes main menu, by default, is
back.
The back button. And again, you can hit space with B to activate it from anywhere within Braille Access. So you don't have to find the back button necessarily if you don't want to, but it is there as an option. Let's go back to new ..
New.
I'll hit enter on this or a cursor routing button, whichever your preference is.
New note.
We have new note. By the way, there is no cursor indicating that I can write under the E in new note. This, when I press enter on it, will simply create the new note, and the title will be whatever the top line is, so the first few characters. If I do space with .4.
New folder name.
New folder name. And new folder name does have a cursor at the end. It's on the colon. Don't worry, I'm not talking about body parts here. And this is where you would go to, of course, create a new folder. So if I type in hello, it's kind of a dumb file name, but folder name. But anyway, press enter on this. And hello shows up as a folder now on my Braille display. And I'm returned to the main menu of Braille Notes. And I can confirm that by pressing space with .1.
New.
And there is new. Now if I hit space with .4, there's a folder called hello that we just created. And because I've used this device for Braille Notes quite frequently, if I hit space with .4 again, there's a folder called test. Beyond that is one. And then two and three. This is being composed on an iPhone 14 and so on and so forth. Let's go ahead and go back to the
new,
and I'll hit .8.
New note.
Let's do a new note. And I have a cursor located between two different symbols. It looks like a letter P and a letter TH, and the cursor is in the middle. So let me do a quick note here. I am typing a quick note and watching the cursor move. I'm a cursor, but I try not to move. Since I'm a cursor, and I'm typing Braille, does that mean I have potty keys? ? So you can use your cursor routing buttons to move around just like you would in any other text field, and the cursor will follow you around. Not me, but the actual cursor. So you can do several other commands here. Space with L will take you to the top of the note. I am typing and so on and so forth. This is what's shown here, but, you know, it would be whatever your note says. Space with 456 takes you to the end. You can also select individual words or the whole line or the entire note. In iOS 26, you can press the cursor routing button under the word you want 2 times, and it will automatically highlight that word. Press it 3 times, and you have to do it fairly quickly, and you will have the entire line selected. I would say one of the most powerful features within this particular application, if you will, or tool, is that now that I've written this stuff in Braille natively, and again, when you write it in Braille, it just whatever you write is what you get back. You know, it logs your keystrokes, not necessarily what VoiceOver would translate. For example, if you had a couple of different languages you wanted to write in, say English and Spanish, for example, you could do that. Grade 3, that's also a thing. I know that some people have their own short form for taking notes. You can use that here, no problem. However, it becomes a problem when you have a file that has multiple Braille codes and you want to move it out of Braille notes into, say, drafts, for example. Or maybe you've written up an email and you want to take it from Braille notes and put it into the Mail app. Now, you'll remember earlier I talked about the opening to the last position issue, and when that is on, that you will not be able to complete this process. So you can either go back and turn it off when you want to use it, or just leave it off altogether. That's kind of what I do, because I use this functionality quite a bit. Anyway, so I have this note, and you're about to see how well I'm able to Braille. You can press space with 2, 3, 5, 6, and that will select all. And I can see on the Braille display that dots 7 and 8 are underneath the entire text, so it has been selected. Now I'll press space with the letter C to copy it. And unfortunately, there's no confirmation that it has been copied yet. I will leave the Braille access area.
Braille access off.
I'm back in Twitter now, or X. I want to launch drafts.
Launch app.
There we go.
Drafts.
And let's see. I'm going to do space with the letter V now.
Keys ?
There it went. And I can, of course, review whether it is what I wanted it to be.
Toolbar, text field, is editing. I am you typing a quick note and watching the cursor move. I'm cursor, but I try not to move. Since I'm a cursor, and I'm typing Braille, does that mean I have potty keys? Character mode, insertion point at end.
And there you go. That's how you would get a Braille note into another application. There's some other things you can try to do. For example, it's supposed to be that there's an iCloud folder created in the Notes app, and it would still be in the non-translated format, but that doesn't seem fully reliable, and so what ends up happening is that it remains locally, and it doesn't seem to be syncing through iCloud as intended. So that's another way to take your Braille notes and move them to your iOS device for further editing or distribution or whatever you may want to do. One more thing I'm going to cover with Braille Notes before we move on to BRF files. I'm going to go ahead and go into Braille Access again.
Launch app. Choose up Braille Notes.
And again, I didn't have to leave the Drafts application to do this.
New.
Now I'm on the new button again. And then I have my Hello folder that I was playing around with earlier. Test is the next folder, and then I have the note that I just created. Now, I mentioned earlier backspace or .7 to launch the context menu, and this is where you will encounter the context menu when you're sitting on a file or a folder. So let's see what we have here by pressing .7.
Move.
You can move it, and when you do that, by the way, make sure that there's already a folder created for that move, or Braille Access might crash on you.
Delete.
You can also delete the note.
Pin.
You can pin it. We mentioned that earlier when talking about the settings. You're able to come in here and say, yeah, okay, that's how I want them sorted, but I want this note to appear before all the others, and that's when you would want to pin it.
Back.
And we have back. So that's Braille Notes. Let's now go to the next option, which is BRF Files.
Braille Access off. Launch app. Choose item. Braille Notes. BRF Files.
There it is. I'll press .8.
New.
We have here something you may be familiar with. The new .. button. Well, it isn't really a button. I guess that's not an icon either. Fingercon just sounds weird. Anyway, just like the Braille Notes tool, we also have
back,
the back button. But there are a lot of other things here that we're going to look at. Now, I'm going to move back to the
new
.. And again, you'll have your file name and your folder name. And it's a little different here because after I press enter or .8,
file name,
I have file name as an option. So I can name it whatever I want. It's the same way you would type in the folder name under Braille Notes. And in fact, if we hit space with .4,
new folder name.
And, of course,
back.
Let me go to new file name.
File name.
ABC, I guess, and press .8. And I'm just going to write testing this file. I don't have anything entertaining to say. I'm sorry. So now you can just leave Braille Access. Space with H will do that, or you could use space with .7 and 8 if you're using an 8-dot Braille table, or 7 and 8 if any others. Or you can simply hit space with B to close this out. Now, it's been my experience that most of the time when using this feature that it doesn't require that I hit space with B. But I've also encountered a couple times where that did not happen. So I always recommend space with B once you're done. Not that this thing's worth saving, but for demo purposes, it's fine. So space with B will close this.
ABC.BRF.
Now you hear ABC.BRF. So you may recall we had the context menu with .7 in Braille Notes. And your various notes, you have one here in BRF Files as well. I'll press .7.
Edit.
The first option we have is edit. And the reason for that is that when you open a BRF file, you will usually only be wanting to read it. You know, most of these files are downloaded from book services. If you did want to edit them, though, you have that ability here. Next option.
Move.
Move. Same as in Braille Notes.
Delete.
Same as any delete.
Rename.
Rename. You have that option, and you do have the cursor at the end of rename, so you can just go ahead and type a file name followed by .8 if you'd prefer.
Back.
And our familiar back button. So let's say, for example, I wanted to take this BRF file that I had from another place to read. Maybe I didn't download it from Bookshare on my iPhone, but maybe it's something I have in Dropbox, which is actually the case. There are a multitude of ways we could import this BRF file into the BRF Files app. One thing you must do is copy it into your iCloud drive. When you go into BRF Files for the first time, it creates a folder in your iCloud drive called BRF Files. But that doesn't mean you have to only use iCloud. It does mean that if you want to read within Braille Access, you'll need to have those files there. But you can import them from any number of places using the Files app on iOS. In fact, let's go ahead and do that. Let me exit out of here. Space with B.
BRF Files.
And I'll go backward to launch app.
Choose item. Launch app.
And I'm going to type files.
Braille access off. Files. iCloud drive. Back button.
And by default, I'm in iCloud drive. The good thing about using the files app is most of your file sharing services are here. You have to add them, and that would be a different podcast on the files app, way beyond the scope of this podcast. But when you launch this, you will be thrown into your iCloud drive, unless you've been somewhere else with it recently. So I'm going to hit space with B here. And I have a browse back button. But since I'm still in iCloud drive, I have to hit space with B again.
More button.
And I believe now we're in the main area where we can select different services. Let's see. I'll keep going to the right.
Browse. Heading. Search. Search field. Dictate. But favorites. Button. Heading. Expect downloads. Button. Locations. But iCloud Drive. Button. On my iPhone. Button.
So now I'm into the different things that we have. We have iCloud Drive. We have my iPhone. And then?
Dropbox.
Button. And finally, there's Dropbox. Dropbox is where the file is located, so I'm going to go in here.
Selected. 01. Actions so now, available.
So now I'm in my Dropbox folder, and the thing I'm going to copy is called seeingvoices.brf, and that is a book I downloaded 19 years ago, and I was looking for BRF files to do the demonstration on. That one seemed kind of interesting, so... I'm going to do a find for seeing.
Enter search text. H360 seeing underscore voices underscore a underscore journey dot BRF file 8/20/06 369 kilobytes.
I told you it was there a while. And now I can use my rotor. Space with dot 6 is what I would use. And I would move not to.
Copy.
As you would suspect. Because that will literally make a copy of this file. But if you hit it one more time...
Move.
That's actually going to copy it to wherever you specify in the next step. But if you're not sure, you can always copy the file before you go here to move. So I'm going to select move. And fortunately, I guess because I've done this before... I'm now already where I want to be in iCloud Drive. So if I move to the right with space and .4, there we are. And there is the copy button. So I'll activate that.
Browse, back button.
And it actually remembered that I was in iCloud from before, so I don't need to do a bunch of browsing again. If I move to the right a few times...
BRF Files, Actions Menu, Button.
I can confirm that's where I'm at.
More button.
There's more.
Copy button.
There's copy, so select this.
Copy. Browse back button.
And I'm now returned to the place where the file was originally located. So if I want, this would be a good time to confirm that it's still there. I'm not going to bother because I know it is. But you could then verify it and you would be back in Dropbox. The other way, of course, to verify that it's there is to go into Braille Access and select BRF files. Let's do that.
Launch app. Choose Braille Notes. BRF files. New.
There's new dot dot dot.
ABC.BRF.
ABC.BRF.
On the air. BRF.
On the air.
Testing.
Testing is a folder.
Seeing underscore voices underscore a underscore journey dot BRF.
But there is my BRF file. If I press dot 8 on it, again, it will open in a read-only state. And I've done that. It almost instantaneously opened. I actually opened a 3.4 meg file on here before, an encyclopedia. That's the ontheair.brf file. And it only took about 3 seconds to open the entire thing, which is kind of nice. So, like notes, you can, Braille notes, you can do space with 1, 2, 3 to go to the top, or space with 4, 5, 6 will take you to the bottom, or it may land you in the back button area. But if you hit space with dot 1, you will be at the end of that content. Space with F also works, by the way, and it does seem reliable in all of my testing. And you can exit the BRF file and it will retain your position. But as you'll see here, there are also bookmarking features available. This is an area where dot 7 also has a context menu. I'll go ahead and press it.
Fine.
We do have the ability to activate this within the menu. Again, space with F works. If I go to the next option.
Previous find.
Previous find.
Add bookmark.
You can add a bookmark to a specific location.
Back.
And then you would have jump to bookmark added once you have bookmarks in a file. So that's BRF files and how you would use them. The other nice thing, and notes is another good place for it, but BRF files isn't a bad one to show it either. If I'm reading along on this file, there is a visual interface, but the second I do something on my touchscreen, that visual interface goes away. So if I do, for example, a swipe up for the home screen.
Weather. Notes.
I am now moving around my home screen on iOS, and I'm still looking at the book on my Braille display. So if I wanted to do some kind of research while I was using BRF notes or BRF files or Braille notes, that would be another cool use of the feature. And the minute I want to go back to my iOS device in Braille, I can hit backspace with space.
Braille access off.
And now I see notes on the Braille display, which is the icon on my home screen. So that is really neat for those who have the hearing to be able to use it. I'll talk briefly about the calculator because there's really not a whole lot to show. I'll go back into Braille Access now.
Launch app. Choose up Braille BRF files. Nemeth calculator.
And I've activated Nemeth calculator and I have a blinking cursor. So if I want, I can type in, let's say, 7 times 77, I don't know, whatever, and press enter, and 539 is the result. There's no speech feedback here, so there is a list of some of the other things you can do in the article if you want to check that out, but it's kind of boring because there's no audio feedback and it's a podcast. So that's about all I have to say on that one. There is, again, the visual display. It shows the calculations of what you're doing on the screen unless you take your iOS device away from it. But that's really all I can say about this. So, space with B.
Nemeth calculator.
Again, I'll do space with dot 4.
Nemeth live captions.
and there is live captions. So let's do that as well. I'll launch it with .8. And on my Braille display, I see listening. This is another area where we have a context menu. So if I press .7.
Pause.
You can pause the captions.
Listen to audio.
You can listen to audio, which is the internal audio of the iOS device. So, for example, if you had a podcast, maybe you were trying to stream a file through Dropbox or make a FaceTime call, make a FaceTime audio call, a Zoom call, all of those things would be great, but they don't work yet as of iOS 26.0.1. Anyway, let me continue with this menu.
Summarize.
You can summarize it. You actually have to have some captions to do that, but it's something available on the iPhones that support Apple Intelligence.
Back.
And you have back. So if I hit .8, if you fall behind on captioning, you will get an indicator with a full cell at each end of the line. On your Braille display, you can hit a cursor adding button to jump to current if you're finding that you're falling too far behind. And the other thing you can do is press .8.
Type to speak.
And you can type. I know everybody wants to hear my personal voice, as if you haven't heard enough of my voice today, right? So, hello, this is Scott. I'm so boring. I'll hit .8.
Hello, this is Scott.
Hi, Scott. This is Scott. That actually sounds kind of creepy. I don't like it. That was created, by the way, with the older iOS version where you had, I think it was 150 prompts. But man, what a flat voice. Maybe I should present like this for the rest of the podcast. What do you think? I had an experience not long ago where I didn't have either hearing aid in, and I was totally deaf. That's what happens when both of my hearing aids are out. And so I was able to follow most of what was being said while I was waiting for my hearing aids to come back while I was at the audiologist's office. So that was kind of neat. You know, it's a little confusing because there's no context, which is true of a lot of captioning, but it's also a very handy thing. The final option on Braille Access, I'll hit space with B now.
Live captions.
Is
16:01:12.
What I'm also looking at here is a running display of the time and seconds. And just like when I was able to go use my iOS device in the BRF Files app, I can leave my Braille display here, checking out the time and watching it go by. And it works well. Now, if you press .8 on this, it will also give you the date. I'll do one more thing before we end, and that is to, for convenience sake, show you how to set up custom commands for the Braille display and different Braille Access functions. The one I covered in the podcast was to set up some command for time. I chose enter with T. So this time, let's go through and set one up for captioning. That's another one that I find really handy. So voiceover settings.
Settings, back button.
Then I'm going to Braille.
Enter search text. Braille, Braille Edge 7, match input and output tables, switch button, on.
Now I'm finding the Braille Edge.
Enter search text. Braille Edge 7. Connected. Button.
Space with .6.
More info. Braille commands. Button.
That's what I want. Braille commands. Now I will hit space with .4.
Device. Button.
And that will take me to device, but I want Braille again, so let me go back.
Braille. Button.
And it did the same thing. Its speech went away. It'll come back, though, when I hit space with .4. In this situation, that works every time for me. But I don't need to do that. I'm going to do a find for
enter search text
caption.
Open Braille Access to live captions button.
There we go. I'll select this.
Braille keys, heading. No assigned Braille key. Assign new Braille keys. Button.
And before I select assign new Braille keys, one of the things that I strongly encourage people to do is already have a command in mind, because even though it doesn't time out, it does. In this case, I'm going to use enter with the letter C for captioning. I'll activate the assign new Braille keys button and press that.
Alert. Press Braille keys. Assign new Braille keys button.
And I'm returned to the assign new Braille keys button. Now, if I press enter with C.
Live captions.
Here we are on live captions. Again, dot 7 with dot 8 will take me back out of this.
Braille access off.
And I'm right back in settings where I wanted to be. So that's pretty much what you're going to get with Braille access at this point, and how it is working and not working in certain ways. But I think it's really cool that Apple has taken the time to develop these set of features for Braille-specific users, not only with the Braille notes and the BRF files, but also things that give access to more mainstream environment stuff like live captions, for example. It's just my hope that this will improve and live captions will become available for phone calls, FaceTime, Teams, Zoom, all of those things would be nice. The reason I say that is that Zoom hasn't done anything to improve Braille captioning, neither has Teams. And so this would finally help open the doors for individuals who have a significant hearing loss that may want to be able to access Zoom through their Braille display and captioning. So I'm really hopeful to get that access soon. So thanks again for tuning in to the podcast. Feel free to leave any comments or feedback. Certainly, some people's experiences are going to be different than others. That's just the nature of technology these days. So it's always good to get feedback from others. So thanks again for listening. This is Scott Davert saying so long, everybody.
This podcast was brought to you by the community at applevis.com. Applevis, empowering people who are blind, deafblind, or who have low vision to get the most from Apple products and related technologies. A proud member of the Be My Eyes family. For more information, visit our website at www.applevis.com.